It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin has seen more frequent and severe flooding in recent years, and the growing impact of climate change is expected to make things worse in the future. A recent report published in the journal Climate Policy evaluated the Great Lakes states on their policies and programs for building local flood resilience. Wisconsin ranked near the middle. The state scored well in the categories of planning, guidance, and regulations and standards, while the report says Wisconsin falls behind other states in terms of providing funding and information for flood preparation. It's a complicated issue with no one-size-fits-all approaches for communities around the state with different geographies and infrastructure needs. But our next guest says there's a lot we can do to be better prepared for extreme rainfall and flooding in the future. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you dealt with flooding in your area? How prepared were you and your community? Do you think we need to do more to be ready for flooding? What questions do you have about our infrastructure and our flood preparedness? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Wright is an associate professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Madison. He leads the Hydroclimate Extremes Research Group that studies rainfall and flooding. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You've noted elsewhere, Daniel, that flooding isn't just about, you know, how much rain comes down and how quickly. Can you talk about the factors literally on the ground, the infrastructure, the environment that can make a rainstorm a flood in one place and not in another?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it really does vary from place to place. And so when you're looking in areas around Wisconsin, oftentimes we need to worry about more than just rainfall. And so, for example, another really important factor is the soil itself. And so in particular, what we call the soil moisture. And so that's basically how much water is already in the soil, maybe from a rainstorm the day before or the week before, that can really impact how much runoff actually occurs when a big rainstorm hits. And so the wetter our soils are, the more severe the flood is going to be. The other thing that we have to worry about in Wisconsin and places nearby, at least in the springtime, is what happens when you have a lot of snow on the ground and then a storm comes. Because what happens in that case is that rain melts the snow that's there, and then you get runoff not only from the rain that falls, but from that melting snow as well.
Now, on the rainfall side of the equation, how much does climate change change our evaluation of risk here in the state?
Yeah, it's a really important factor, and the upper Midwest has really been one of the big hotspots for increases in extreme rainfall in the recent past. And so we all know here, just based on the difference that we feel when we go outside in wintertime versus summertime, that the warmer the air is, the more humidity it can hold. And so that is true when we look at warming temperatures due to climate change as well. And so the more water vapor, the more humidity we have in the air, the more likelihood we have of having these really big rainstorms.
I used to hear this phrase a lot more. It seems like people are moving away from it. I don't know. The 100-year flood or the 500-year flood, meaning the kind of flooding event or rainfall event you might expect once in every 100 years, once in every 500 years, whatever. What did we mean by that? And are those kind of calculations changing?
Yeah, well, the 100-year flood is not what it used to be. And so we do a lot of work trying to understand these changes. And it's made challenging by the fact that it does indeed look different in different places. And so particularly in urban areas where, first of all, you have, you know, increasing urban development. And so basically paving over natural surfaces with parking lots and buildings, that cuts down on the ability of the land to basically soak up rainfall. And so you see more runoff in urban areas as a result. It also means that that floods in urban areas really are the result of extreme rainfall, as opposed to, as I mentioned before, the other issues that can play factors, the soil moisture and the snow melt. And so What we try to do is understand in different locations, whether they be urban or rural, how these different combinations of different physical factors fit together and really translate to the likelihood of floods of different sizes, and including the 100-year flood.
Talking to Daniel Wright from UW-Madison, expert on extreme rainfall and flooding, looking at infrastructure and flood preparedness here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has your community been hit by extreme rainfall in recent years? Did flooding result? Is your community making changes? Do you have questions for a guest about what kind of solutions might be out there? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I imagine the answer to this might vary from place to place in the state. Daniel, but big picture, how well do you see us being prepared for flooding here in Wisconsin?
Well, one of the big problems that I see is that in many cases, we're using outdated information. And this is a problem not just in Wisconsin, it's true around the country, where in order to design infrastructure or to identify, you know, which buildings might be at risk of being in the 100-year floodplain, we're using rainfall data based on rainfall measurements that in some cases are more than 50 or more than 75 years old at this point. And when the climate is changing at the rate that it is, many scientific studies have shown that those sources of data that we're using for these types of decisions are really badly out of date and in serious need of updating.
What can a community do if they realize, hey, we did pretty good based on that standard you were just outlining? We're seeing now the risk is higher. What kind of changes can communities make to deal with the risk of more extreme rainfall, maybe higher runoff because of that development you mentioned?
Yeah, well, one example of this can be found here in Madison, where I live, where on the basis of, you know, recent experiences and some analysis done at the university as well, the city and then Dane County subsequently decided to strengthen the stormwater management ordinances. Basically, that means that property developers, if they were going to develop a new property or redevelop an older property, they would have to go to greater lengths to manage the runoff resulting from big rainfalls.
And what might that look like? I mean, I'm definitely seeing developments with that area left with some lower permeable surface, actual soil, as opposed to pavement. Is that something we're going to see more of?
Yeah, there are a variety of options available, amongst those being particularly in built-up urban areas, installing green roofs. So essentially, roofs on buildings that have vegetation and soil on top of them, which help to keep the rainfall in place once it's hit the rooftop. On the ground, using things like permeable pavements, which can actually help some of the rainfall soak into the ground. Things like rain gardens, so, you know, pieces of replacing a piece of lawn with a sort of different types of vegetation and different types of soils and gravels and things that can help increase the amount of water that soaks in. But the reality is that for really big storms like the 100-year storm or even the 500-year storm, those measures are really not sufficient. And so we need to be thinking about larger scale solutions that involve more comprehensive planning, not just at the level of individual property development, but at the scale of communities and watersheds.
We're talking to UW-Madison civil and environmental engineering professor Daniel Wright about flooding and how Wisconsin can prepare for increasing risks because of climate change. We'll get into some of those wider solutions coming up, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How concerned are you about the risk of flooding in your area? Or am I asking too late? Have you lived through a flood in your community? Did you feel like you personally were prepared, like your community was ready to deal with that when it happened? If so, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Daniel Wright, a civil and environmental engineering professor who leads the Hydroclimate Extremes Research Group at UW-Madison. He's with us today to look at how prepared Wisconsin is for heavy rainfall and flooding and the increased risk coming from climate change. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. If you have questions about flood preparedness, thoughts, maybe experiences in your own life, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Daniel, you were just talking about the need for larger scale planning, citywide, maybe countywide, and more. What kind of things do you have in mind?
Well, I think one of the important things going forward is making sure that we're working with the right information about how extreme rainfall is changing and what we should expect in the future as far as our what types of storms our infrastructure and communities might be expected to see.
And then with that information, what kind of plans can we make?
Well, I think that will help us understand how to do better infrastructure design. So, for example, do our stormwater detention basins need to be larger? The answer is probably yes, but how much larger? We're not really equipped to answer that question at this point. Similarly, stormwater pipes, how much larger do those need to be? And then, at the end of the day, I think the question is really, how expensive do those changes, how expensive are those changes really going to be? Because when you're talking about limited municipal budgets and you have to spend a larger fraction of that on infrastructure in order to deal with the impacts of climate change, that of course has impacts on everything else, including schools and libraries, et cetera.
Let's bring on a caller. Perry is with us in Okato. Perry, hi.
Yes. Is there any way to predict? I know, soil moisture and some of that plays into it, but is there any kind of guide whatsoever of so much rainfall per hour for so long? Is there anything at all that a person can say, man, this is going to be a bad one? Anything like that.
Perry, thanks a lot for the call. Daniel, as I understand, you have a software tool of sorts to help answer that kind of question.
Yeah, we do have tools available. It depends exactly on what sort of information that you're looking for. So a big focus in our work is predicting what I would call the long-term likelihood of rainfall. So not necessarily what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, but rather, what should we expect over the next year or coming years? Because those are really the kinds of questions that are important when it comes to infrastructure or community planning, where the decisions you're making about how to build things or zone things end up having multi-decadal lifetimes. Now, there's also a different aspect of this, which is short-term forecasting, and that is the question of how likely is it to is a big rainstorm over the next day or the next week? And so those are two separate problems. We have software that really focuses on the former, whereas there's the National Weather Service and other commercial organizations that do a pretty good job of forecasting the latter. Although one of the things that's becoming more challenging as the climate warms and changes is actually forecasting these types of events, even for very short lead times, like even less than one day, because the climate is not behaving the same way that it has in the past.
Perry, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, with that pinpoint precision, Dan, just earlier this summer, my hometown in Michigan got 7 inches of rain in one night. Where my folks live, 20 minutes away, they got under 2 inches of rain. That seems like it makes it really difficult if a weather pattern breaks a certain way, one community could face a huge risk of flood, another none. Is that part of the problem here, that sort of those small differences that can make a huge difference on the ground?
Yeah, that's right. So the exact type of summertime thunderstorms that you're describing are really where a lot of the uncertainties still lie around, you know, where we're heading in terms of extreme rainfall and flooding in a warming climate. And so we understand really well scientifically the relationship between the temperature of the air and how much humidity the air can hold, and the impact that that can have on these really extreme isolated storms like you're describing. But where a lot of the uncertainty still remains is where we might expect these storms to be moving now and in the future. And so this has to do with the location of the jet stream and how warm fronts and cold fronts are changing, where the locations of those types of things are changing in a warming climate. And that part is really still a major unanswered scientific question.
And as we wrap up, Daniel, what are you watching for next from communities around the state to see if they step up and tackle some of these flooding concerns?
Well, we're now working on trying to provide some examples here at the university for communities to potentially follow, to understand some of the cost implications of adapting to this these rainfall changes, particularly focused around stormwater management infrastructure, to really help communities wrap their heads around the costs here.
Daniel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Daniel Wright, an associate professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Madison. He leads the Hydroclimate Extremes Research Group that studies rainfall and flooding. He was with us today for a look at the best ways to prepare for the risks of flooding in Wisconsin as climate change makes extreme rain events more likely.